I think we could come in this
room. You think so?
I feel like mine's
it has, and all we do really is talk about it makes me regret our choices, banter-wise. I feel like...
You need to be
stronger.
I think...
Oh. Hello there. Welcome. Thank you for tuning in today.
Good evening.
Or good morning, or good afternoon, whenever you may be listening to this fine podcast. Welcome to Know It All with Tay and Kay. I'm Tay.
I'm Kay.
And today we're going to be talking about sarcasm. So I just wanted to share a little anecdote with you, as I am wont to do, as I almost always do. And this is a bit more of a recent one. I thought it'd be fun to, you know, just give you an update on our general lives.
Well, we tell them as they come.
So the other night, Kevin and I, after traipsing around the Monticello, for the better part of the evening, threw our shovels and drawings into the back of the Tay and Kay van and decided, quite restlessly, to bury the night with a drink. So we trekked to the nearest city, which was Charlottesville, Virginia, and searched for a bar that was still open. Finally, we were able to find one. So we walked in, we ordered a drink from the bartender, who was an older lady of Polish descent, and before even getting us our drinks, she took one look at us and asked, "What have you been doing? Digging up bodies?" Which I said, "We have just spent the evening pockmarking Monticello in search of Jefferson's legendary gold bounty," which was true, but she got such a good laugh out of it that our grappa was free. She apparently thought that we were being what is known as sarcastic.
To be sarcastic is to be insincere, satirical, and ironic, usually with the intention of cutting someone down to size. For example, Taylor.
Yes.
I could ask you something like, "Do you like baseball?"
No.
Wait, you don't like baseball?
No, I love baseball. I was demonstrating sarcasm.
Oh. That's not right.
Yes, it is.
No, if you had said no, but with a tone as if it was obvious, that would have been sarcastic.
What do you mean, like, no?
No, more like, no.
Oh.
Yeah, that would have been sarcastic.
Are you sure?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Was that sarcasm?
What?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
So then what would that have been?
What?
If it was sarcastic, that would have been sarcastic, then what was that in actuality?
What was what?
Do you like baseball?
No.
I thought you loved baseball.
I do.
Then why?
I was being sarcastic.
Why?
I don't know.
Are you being sarcastic?
When?
Now?
If I am, it's not intentional.
You can't be accidentally sarcastic.
A nice deduction, smart guy.
Thank you.
That actually is a perfect example of sarcasm. We got caught up in a little bit of a rigmarole with one another over some nonsense. And in the end, I insulted him by calling him stupid, by sarcastically calling him smart guy.
But that was a nice deduction and a genuine display of intelligence. In order to follow the conversation we just found ourselves in and to come to the rational conclusion and discovery that sarcasm is not accidental, which is true, one would have to possess a modicum of intelligence or otherwise be a smart guy. So no, despite your best efforts, that was not sarcastic.
What?
On the other hand, my response of thank you towards your lamentable attempt to cut me down was sarcastic.
What?
That thank you.
You didn't mean it?
I did mean it, but sarcastically, as a way of saying that you were the stupid one.
It's like I don't even know you anymore.
You don't mean that.
What do you take me for? Some sort of sarcastic Sally?
No. Of course I don't. You know I don't. To me, you've always been an honest Andre.
You're not being sarcastic, are you?
Not at a time like this. God, I just think we just got a little excited and dove too quickly into this rather volatile topic.
I propose, for the sake of clarity, as well for the sake of you and I, we employ a safe word.
Safe word.
If one of us says the word, the sarcasm is over and we engage as usual.
Great. So, podcast. The safe word is podcast.
And to turn it back on, we just say podcast again.
So this is a sarcasm-free zone at the moment.
Correct.
Great.
See, it's nice knowing that you genuinely feel that this is a great idea.
Yeah, genuine. Yeah, I know. But please, let's begin.
Yes.
If you've been listening to our podcast for long, you know that our dynamic's clear and well-defined. We both have our areas of expertise. Kevin, for instance, is a fountain of street smarts and a literary genius.
And you're a goddamn dictionary, you piece of shit.
What?
I don't know if I want to do this podcast anymore.
Oh, real mature. Real mature.
No, I'm not. This podcast? It's the only thing I've got. I have no other things in my life.
Oh, see, it's that kind of passion that makes our podcast, if I can speak freely here, so compelling to our audience. They crave this kind of real juicy stuff.
I was being sarcastic.
I wasn't.
Podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think we may want to go to a commercial.
Yeah, whatever.
What the hell's taking so long?
Oh, you were serious?
No! That was sarcasm!
My goodness, Kevin. What happened to your fingernails?
Oh, I ripped most of them off gardening the other day.
How?
You know, digging.
Why on earth didn't you use a shovel?
What's a shovel?
Well, it's a very large spoon used for digging holes and moving piles of fine objects.
Oh. What's a spoon?
It's an eating utensil capable of pooling liquid.
Oh.
Perhaps you've used one before to imbibe soup.
Oh, like a straw.
No. More like a small shovel.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, you got it.
Spoons, eh? I'll have to remember that next time I'm gardening.
Shovels! Putting holes in the land since prehistoric man. Sarcasm is an ubiquitous literary device that can be seen as early as the Magna Carta and graces the works of everything from Shakespeare to the documents written by our founding fathers, which we still live by today. But with the changes in language, written and spoken, which naturally occur over time, much of the sarcasm is lost and taken for truth or genuineness from the writers. So many writers these days avoid using it, as it's just too difficult to harness in text and it's too easy to misinterpret.
This has led to debate from the top sarcastic literary historians. Some argue that the Declaration of Independence's opening line of "all men are created equally" is surely something said in jest, to break the ice among a rough crowd of surly slave-owning white men whom had confined themselves to the Second Continental Congress for the muggy 1776 spring into summer season, while others insist it is a genuine statement of desired equality among all men. Which is the truth? We may never know.
Yeah, I mean, imagine if God had sarcastically said, "Let there be light," or if he had peppered the Ten Commandments with curious overemphasis on certain words. We'd live in a world of moral chaos.
Sarcasm infects ordinary conversation, like a plague. Look what it did to our podcast earlier. Pure moral chaos.
Does that rule still apply?
Of course not. The new rules apply.
Right. Sarcasm off and sarcasm on. You can't see it, but I'm using air quotes.
Not only are air quotes commonly used to indicate sarcasm, but I still have no idea whether you turn the sarcasm off or on by saying podcast.
I think you just turned it off.
Great. So, as we were saying, sarcasm was a rarity, even in Shakespeare. His characters may lie to one another, but even afterwards they are likely to soliloquize every detail of their deception to whoever remains in the audience. It's simply too hard to communicate in writing. Sarcasm can only be truly communicated in person.
Yeah. You know, it wasn't until the invention of the phonograph that sarcasm came to be distributed on a large scale. Lend your ears to one of Thomas Edison's earliest recordings.
What a useful invention this phonograph is! These wax cylinders will certainly last eons!
My wax cylinders barely made it through the summer.
But before Edison, sarcasm stalwarts insisted on the creation of a punctuation mark which indicated a second layer of meaning in written sentences.
Now, these punctuation marks were usually just simple reversals of already common symbols. Newspaper magnate Marcus Flinch, one of my favorites, in fact, proposed a backward question mark would indicate sarcasm. And recently, independent fontsmiths have proposed the sark mark, which looks like a dot with a short spiral birthing out of it. This mark would make the intention of the writer more clear to the audience member.
This raises the question, though. Is not sarcasm something specifically meant to be grasped by those in the know? Doesn't this symbol simply transform a sarcastic sentence into a regular sentence? And then shouldn't the writer simply stick to the tried and true method of saying what they mean?
I think it's about time. I can't tell you how many times my misconception of sarcasm has just exacerbated my problems.
Like when, smart guy?
But just the other month, a cop pulled me over for speeding and handed me a ticket for $120 and said, "I'll see you in court," which, you know, I thought he was joking about. But apparently he was so upset when I misunderstood his tone and didn't show up for the court day.
He just air quoted?
That he came all the way out to my house to tell me. I, of course, pretended not to answer my door as a way of fighting sarcasm. with sarcasm.
How do you mean?
Well, I was being sarcastic about not being home when I really was.
I can't help but feel like you're still not getting it.
Mm.
Like on a fundamental level. That wasn't sarcasm. Neither was that.
I suppose I should, you know, take a few notes from Dr. Professor Archduke Sarcasm over here.
That's better.
I was being sarcastic.
Well, clobviously, it's clear as day, especially to me, that I, myself, do not hold a doctorate, position of tenure, nor am I a ruling member of the Habsburg dynasty.
Oh, is it clear?
Crystal.
Because your wallpaper of diplomas, tweed jacket, and coronet would suggest otherwise, friend.
Oh. You got me.
Yeah, I got you good.
You have just demonstrated a great example of long-form sarcasm. Long-form sarcasm strikes a delicate balance between sarcasm and pranking. For those of you at home who can't see, I am clearly wearing a diadem and not a coronet.
Obviously.
And I do generally consider myself a bit of a jokester.
Yeah, sarcasm can certainly get quite dangerous, no?
Absolutely.
Yeah, in previous episodes, we've discussed the potential dangers of our subject matter in candy, for instance. We marked that it's addictive and that it incites violence in children. And the same really goes for Japanese animation. But when we were doing research for this episode, we never really came across any literature which indicated how troublesome sarcasm can really be.
And it got me thinking. Being famous podcasters has its benefits, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it also has a few notable downsides. Mm. We are often plagued by fans who will stop us wherever we are and ask us to solve their intellectual quandaries and occasionally challenge us to a battle of wits.
Still undefeated.
This puts us kind of in the same realm as Socrates.
Yeah.
The Athenians of old would often accost Socrates in the streets and provide a thesis for him to disprove.
This was about the closest Socrates ever got to having a job.
And I recall reading a passage in the Euthyphro in which Socrates, on trial for blasphemy, asks the most pious man in Greece to better define piety, so that he may more easily defend himself in court.
Now, this was Pope Pius.
And instead of simply asking him for help, he just has to use his famous Socratic method.
Yeah, essentially, this is when a philosopher learns something new by asking a lot of rude leading questions.
And Pius can't deal with it.
He just clams up.
And Socrates, instead of learning a lesson from his fellow Athenians like he always does, learns nothing.
His sardonic demeanor was a huge turnoff for Pope.
And 2 days later, he was tried for blasphemy, convicted, and executed by guillotine.
Now, sarcasm isn't usually this dangerous for the average user. It's harmful, to be sure. Feelings get hurt. Friendships get tested. It's an ugly tool in the linguistic attaché case, but if you're in a position of power, like us, you need to be deadly serious.
Always. Taylor, let me ask you something. Has anyone ever caused a global crisis due to sarcasm?
What do you mean?
I don't know how I could possibly be more clear.
I know. I was being sarcastic.
You're still not getting it.
I'm quite certain I am. But in answer to your question, yes, several times, in fact. I'm sure you're familiar with one Fidel Castro.
Ah, yes, el presidente.
The same. And I'm sure you're familiar with the Cuban Missile Crisis.
The name.
Me too. Until the other day, when I was perusing the Cold War section of our archives while eating a cold cut sandwich.
That would explain the dirty plates slotted into the shell.
Certainly. Anywho, I was reading Castro's account of the event, and according to him, the whole ordeal went a little something like this. Kevin, here's your script. You'll be playing the part of Fidel Castro. Oh, yeah. And I'll be playing Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev.
A radio play?
Well, it's a radio one act, really. So let's take it from the top.
Well, hold your horses, friend. I'm going to give this script a good once over while we take a short break and hear a word from our sponsors.
Hello, I'm Herbert Burton. Our beans have been all over the news lately. You may have also heard that 6 unfortunate souls perished as a result of consuming cans of Burt's brown sugar baked beans, which had been contaminated with botulism. On behalf of every employee of Burt's Beans, I would like to offer my sincerest apologies and condolences to the families of those unfortunate men. We would also like to caution consumers that while the process of canning preserves food for far longer than the duration of its normal self-life, nothing is permanent. The expiration dates on our cans and all canned goods are there for a reason and not to be ignored. However, as a precaution, Burt's Beans is recalling all of its classic brown sugar baked bean variety. Whether you dispose of your cans in a safe manner or send them in to us for complimentary variety case of the entire Burt's Beans lines of product is entirely up to you. But we at Burt's urge you to check the dates on all of your canned goods and never, ever wipe your fingerprints off of them should you give them away. Thanks for listening, and please enjoy your regularly scheduled programming.
And we are back to you, back with a radio play of all things great. So without further ado, I present to you Sarcastro. Logan, can you say action? Okay, I suppose I can say action. Could you at least read the stage directions?
I've got the stage directions. By the way, do you want me to use a Spanish accent?
I insist. Action!
Setting. The Cuban equivalent of the Oval Office. Castro is seated at a large desk, characteristically smoking a very large cigar. Suddenly the phone rings.
Hola.
Hello, Castro. How is my favorite tropical ally doing?
Good, I suppose. You?
Not well, my friend. I'm having a personal crisis. A crisis involving missiles. And I was hoping you wouldn't mind helping me out.
A personal missile crisis? What could be the matter? Lights up on Khrushchev, who is in his office, seated upon a large missile. Attired in full military regalia, he looks great.
Well, I simply have too many nuclear missiles. They're clogging up my office, and I can barely get any work done, what with the constant racket of all these Geiger counters. Could you perhaps take a few, just 5 or 6 dozen, just for a month while I hash out the next 5-year plan?
I don't know. Nuclear missiles? They're a pretty hot topic. Hotter than the hottest salsa. Are you sure America won't mind?
Well, they don't have to know, do they?
Yeah, I'm sure they'll never find out. It's not like they have spies or anything.
Oh, so you'll take the missiles?
Oh, yeah, totally. There's nothing I need more than 72 nuclear missiles in my office.
Oh, great, I'll have them sent to you right now.
A rapping at the door.
Who could that be?
Missile delivery! Missile delivery for, F. Castro!
Castro grips his head in agony as he realizes what has happened.
Ay caramba! What a crisis!
And scene!
Wow. That's how it happened?
According to Castro, word for word. The script was taken from his autobiography, just verbatim. I just Xeroxed it.
The Russians. Not a sarcastic people.
Nor are they particularly funny. Rude though it may be, humor is an essential component of sarcasm. Someone at some point is meant to laugh at a sarcastic remark, even just internally. As we've discovered again and again, sarcasm is just, it's an enigma. Dangerous in its simplicity and exquisite in its complexity. A basic form of human communication, almost ubiquitously recognizable, yet fleeting as a startled flock of birds.
You won't find books on the subject of sarcasm, because any idiot and his mother understand sarcasm and doesn't need no book telling them what's what.
Would you say that sarcasm is common sense?
I would, yes.
Well, it wasn't always that way.
What do you mean?
Well, it wasn't until 1775 that Thomas Paine published his landmark pamphlet Common Sense, which called for the 13 colonies to immediately lead a revolution against the British.
But that was Thomas Paine's intention. He wasn't being sarcastic about revolution.
Oh, yes, but Paine, in what has been cited as some of the best literary sarcasm in history, bludgeoned his readers over the head with sarcasm so blatant and so aggravating that his readers became ignited with hatred toward their aggressors.
Well, wouldn't that have been Thomas Paine?
Well, yeah, but Thomas Paine spun it in such a way that the people thought it was the crown itself that was talking down to them with such disregard. Here's a quote from Common Sense by Thomas Paine. Quote, "Scrabbling in putrescent colonial misery, leagues away from the masters of the house, renders it thus extraordinarily challenging to festoon them with the honors they so richly deserve. 20 coopers could not, in a half century, craft the number of barrels it would take to store the larder of tobacco, scalps, hemp, sugar cane, and gold legal tender to the Virgin Queen. The Queen, oh, the Queen, quintessence of my loins, has bequeathed to a rotten nation gifts once foolishly believed come from the hands of the Almighty, like heat and land and smiles and sunsets. Oh, let us not cast sunsets into the oubliette, for the British so selflessly paint the sky each evening like tucking us in across Neptune's berth. Why, were it not for the crown's grace? Oh, well, we would be, as a nursery, of feces-encrusted infant savages shivering in the cold, endless night. If I may be so bold as to suggest attacks on our inwards, for King George hath already made my heart his conceit." End quote.
But how do you know that was supposed to be sarcasm?
Please, it's common sense.
a little thought experiment might be in order here to lighten the mood.
Interesting.
Taylor, I'm going to throw out a few questions regarding sarcasm. Okay. These were submitted by Tay and K Platinum subscribers. I found them pretty tough myself. Are you prepared to answer them to the fullest of your ability?
As God is my witness.
Question one. Do animals understand sarcasm?
Well, this is kind of sticky, because dolphins and canines, yes. All other animals, nope. Not a jot. Dolphins and dogs, as you likely know from owning one or the other, tuck their tails between their legs when they know they've done something wrong. For instance, if I say, "Good boy!" to Flipper, my golden retriever, in a tone of castigation, he hears right through the words and goes back into his saltwater tank until I give him a herring for dinner sometime later. But, you know, this is pretty uncommon. Virtually all other known animals don't usually grasp emotional intent. You know, they just hear your words and go, "Okay, thank you, I am in fact a very pretty bird." It's so,
question,
just a few.
Question two. Who invented sarcasm?
No one knows. Nothing in our research indicates that it had a particular origin. Philologists, however, do point to the phrases "I'm so scared" and thank thee a lot," and "astute observation, Duke of the Obvious," as the earliest confirmed uses of sarcasm in literature, dating back to the 14th century.
I maintain that sarcasm is as old as language itself. So question three. Your podcast is so great.
Thank you.
You guys are so smart.
Thank you.
How did you get to be such effing geniuses?
Oh, well, first of all, thank you so much for your praise. We really appreciate it. We're quite pleased that you think so highly of us and our work. We work very hard. As for me, well, I just paid attention in school, really. Read a lot of Us Weekly, read a lot of letters to the editor, wrote a lot of letters to the editor. Do you have anything else you want to add, Kevin?
Well, first of all, thank you a lot for your praise. Thank you. Yeah, study hard, eat a lot of candy, love what you do. That's all. It comes naturally to us, I suppose.
Yeah.
You got anything else?
No, I think that's everything. I think we covered sarcasm.
Delightful.
Yeah.
Hey. Taylor.
Yes, Kevin.
As a reward for you, for getting this far through the podcast, I've got some listener mail.
See, I know he wasn't being sarcastic when he said that. I can hear right through his emotional intent. He just meant it.
Well, we could also hear the paper rustling, probably. But here it is. This letter comes from Jacob T. Applebaum.
Hi, Jacob.
He lives in Iowa. He doesn't say what city, just says Iowa.
No, not many cities there.
Right. So, dear Tay and Kay, you guys did an excellent job covering current events, but you forgot to cover current events. Currants, the sweet semi-bitter fruit frequently utilized in scones, are nearing extinction due to over-farming. I'm a currant farmer, so this really disturbs me. Could you spread the word about currants on your podcast? Forever yours, Jacob Applebaum.
Jacob, first of all, thank you for your praise, and second of all, no thank you for trying to hawk your product on our podcast. We get paid big bucks by real advertisers to advertise things like shovels and baked beans and, you know, if you want to pitch your stuff, you can do it on your own podcast.
Yes, we really do appreciate you writing in, but we have this thing called
integrity.
So, yeah. I think that about does it.
That does it, too. Thank you for listening to Know It All with Tay and Kay. You've been listening to an episode on sarcasm. I'm Tay.
I'm Kay.
And join us next week when we talk about blimps.
This episode of Know It All with Tay and Kay was brought to you by Traffic Cones.